All praise is due to Allah, who sent down the book upon the servant, and He made no crookedness in it, and He made it straight to give a severe punishment and a warning from Him, and a glad tidings for those who believe and do righteous deeds, that they should have a good reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla wa Ala, brothers and sisters in Islam, praised Himself for sending down the book, the Qur'an. What do we know about this Qur'an? It is the book which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book, there is no doubt in it. It is a guidance for those who are God conscious. It is the book which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by in more than one occasion in the Qur'an, Yasin, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ, by the Qur'an full of wisdom. قَاف وَالْقُرْآنِ الْمَجِيدِ, by the Qur'an the glorious. It is the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla says about, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي الَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا. This Qur'an guides to that which is more straight, and it gives glad tidings for the believers who do righteous deeds, that they will have an abundance of rewards with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the Qur'an which Allah Azza wa Jal challenged all of the creation. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ. Allah challenged all of the creation. If you are in doubt about that which we have sent down upon our servant, which is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then produce one chapter thereof like the Quran. You know what's the smallest chapter in the Quran? Surah Al-Kawthar. It has 3 verses and 10 words. All of our children know it. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Fasalli li rabbika wanhar. Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. 10 words. All of you who disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a challenge over here. Produce one chapter equal to 10 words like the Quran, in order to prove that he is not the Messenger of Allah and that the book was not sent from Allah. But you know what? Allah Azza wa Jal says, and also call unto you witnesses besides Allah if you are truthful. But it's not going to happen, because Allah says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَمْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you are unable to do it, and you will never be able to do it, then protect yourselves from the fire. This Qur'an, this book that Allah has honored this ummah with, you have to understand, the Qur'an contains the best speech, the speech of Allah. It was sent and delivered through the best of angels, Jibreel, to the best of the creation of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the best ummah, the Muslims, us. You know what a blessing that is? From among all of the prophets and the messengers that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent to His creation, there is absolutely no book from Allah that has been preserved for the creation but the book that we follow and we believe in. This book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an, that many of us sometimes have really seemed to misunderstand the value of this honor that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon us, the Muslims, the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the Qur'an, the glorious book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This book whom Allah promised that the one who follows it and lives according to it will have a successful life, now and after he dies, or she dies. And He promised those who turn away from it the opposite of that. Allah says in the Qur'an, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Allah says, whomever stays away from My remembrance, the Qur'an, then he shall lead a miserable life. This is a promise from Allah. This applies, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to the Muslims and the non-Muslims. The non-Muslims, those who turn away from the Qur'an completely, they will definitely have a miserable life. As for us, the Muslims who have shortcomings, we will have our portion of the miserable life. This is in the dunya. Allah says, وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. And we will resurrect this person, we will gather him with the rest of the creation on the Day of Judgment, أَعْمَى, blind. He cannot see. He will say, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. My Lord, why have you gathered me today blind, although I used to see back in the dunya? You had vision. He had vision today. 20-20, as they say. Could see anything from any distance. But on the Day of Judgment, he will be blind. He will be questioned, why is this the case? Allah Azza wa Jalla will give him the answer. كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا. Such our verses were brought to you, but you forgot about them. فَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And such like that you will be forgotten about today. This is an equal recompense for the people who turn away from the Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is just an introduction. What are the virtues of the Qur'an? What are the virtues of the Qur'an and memorizing the Qur'an and reading the Qur'an and teaching the Qur'an and learning the Qur'an? This is a means of encouragement for myself and for you and for our children who deserve the best from us. Not only money, not only a nice accommodation, not only a nice degree and a diploma, but they deserve something that will guarantee them success in the year after. They deserve something that will protect them from the punishment of Allah and permit them to the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That cannot be bought by money. Money does not purchase that, but the Qur'an does. There are a number of virtues. Among them, if one of you is looking to be elevated in this dunya and in the hereafter, then upon you is the Qur'an. Imam Muslim narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Verily Allah will elevate with this book, the Qur'an, some people, and He will degrade others by it. And we will see later on in our talk what exactly is intended by that. If you are looking to be among those who are special to Allah, then Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and Imam al-Nasa'i, narrators of hadith, quoted this hadith from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى أَهْلِينَ مِنَ النَّاسِ أَهْلُ الْقُرْآنِ هُمْ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ وَقَصَّتِهِ. Verily Allah the Exalted has a group of people that are special to Him among His creation. The people of the Qur'an are the people of Allah and His chosen ones. If you want to be among the chosen people of Allah, then upon you is the Qur'an. If you want to be given precedence in the salah and be a leader in this dunya, then upon you is the Qur'an, based on the hadith by Imam Muslim, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأُمُّ النَّاسَ أَقْرَأُهُمْ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ. The people are to be led in prayer by the one who recites the book of Allah the best. Now this is if you want to be a leader in this dunya. If you want to be a leader after you die, then also upon you is the Qur'an. As the Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu narrated in Bukhari, that in the battle of Uhud, when many of the Muslims died in the battlefield, two men were being buried in the same grave. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon burial with the two men, he used to ask the following, أَيَّهُمَا أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ فَإِنْ أُشِيرَ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمَا قَدَّمَهُ فِي اللَّحْدِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask the brothers while they were digging, before they buried the brothers, which one of them had more of the Qur'an memorized. Well, if they pointed to one of them, he would give them the precedence, he would be placed first in the niche of the grave. So you would be given precedence in the dunya in terms of being the imam, and you'll be given precedence in the grave if two Muslims were to be buried with each other because of the Qur'an and the memorization of the Qur'an. If you want to be among the best of the people on earth, then Imam Bukhari narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who study the Qur'an and teach it to the people. if you want to get some intercession on the day of judgment, the day that is equal to 50,000 years, my brothers and sisters, who will be standing in the heat, except those whom Allah shades with the shade on the day where there is no shade but a shade. The day that Allah Azza wa Jalla described in the Quran in so many numerous occasions, that the heart trembles when you read these verses. إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ لَشَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verily the quake of the hour is something tremendous. This moment where we will need every single act of worship on our side in order to be saved. The day where your own children will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. Your wife will not recognize you. For the sisters, your husband will not recognize you. Your parents will not recognize you. Your children will not recognize you. Even the prophets will not recognize you. Except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will be saying, ummati, ummati, my nation, while everybody else will be saying, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. When you need the most help on that day, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith narrated by Muslim, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Recite the Quran, it will come on the day of judgment as an intercessor for the people who used to recite it. It will come and it will argue on your behalf, it will save you from the fire بإذن الله and permit you to Jannah. If you want to multiply your rewards, you're looking for good deeds? Aren't you looking for good deeds? Is anyone here self-sufficient? Can anyone of us claim so? Jazakallah khairan akhi, I don't need more good deeds. Alhamdulillah, I got a big basket. I don't make any sins. I'm going straight to Jannah. If you know such a brother, don't hang around him. He will ruin you. No human being who truly believes can say that. Because the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who used to fear Allah the most could not say that. They used to cry all day. They were not sure whether they're going to go to Jannah or not. They were concerned whether Allah would accept their acts of worship or not. But if you want to get reward, then know that the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith which was narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, مَنْ قَرَأَ حَرْفًا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَلَهُ بِهِ حَسَنًا والحسنة بعشر أمثالها لا أقول ألف لام ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. Whomever recites one letter of the book of Allah will get a good deed equal to it. As a result of the one letter that you recite, you will get one good deed, but it doesn't stop. والحسنة بعشر أمثالها, and the good deed is multiplied by 10. So the Prophet ﷺ gave us more detailed explanation. So I do not say alif, lam, meem, harf. Rather I say alif is one letter, lam is another letter, and meem is a third letter. So you have gained at least 30 good deeds by saying alif, lam, meem, Allahu Akbar. We are striving day and night to accumulate good deeds and to stay away from bad deeds. You say alif, lam, meem, and you got 30 deeds, 30 good deeds on your account. Where are we from that? Where are we from that reward and from that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the virtues are tremendous. Al-Imam Al-Hafidh Al-Suyuti said, teaching the children the Quran is a fundamental from the fundamentals of Islam. Upon doing so, they will be brought up upon the fitrah, the natural disposition, and the lights of wisdom will rush to their hearts. Before the wickedness and the cloudness of disobedience will overcome their hearts. The children, my brothers and sisters, are a container. If you put something good in it, it will keep it. And if you put something bad in it, it will also keep it. Unless Allah wills otherwise. So these children of ours, teaching them the Qur'an is something that is upon us to do. Because if they are brought up on the Qur'an from young age, then they will have wisdom, they will have light, they will have knowledge, they will be well guided, and so will be the people who listen to them and follow them. But if they are brought up on Disneyland, and The Little Mermaid, and Tom and Jerry, and what have you from Pokemon and all these cartoons, then what do you think our children are going to be about? They're living in a different land. All day they're fighting with each other. You see the kids. They're living in a fantasy land that is straight up from the cartoon. And you're telling me, Akhi, my son, what do you know from the Quran? He may know nothing. Or a few chapters. While in the early Muslim generations, by the age of 7 or 10, the brother had the whole Quran memorized. And maybe Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Nowadays, Allah musta'an, our children will tell you songs, and they will tell you cartoon, and they will tell you name it. Harry Potter and what have you, from magic and a'udhu billah, shirk. But they don't know much about the Quran. Now I tell you, whose responsibility is it? The child? Can we blame the children? Say, you're a bad boy. Why are you watching this? He's a child. Whatever you present to him, he's going to take it. It's our responsibility to ensure the right environment. I mean, it's going to take some effort. It's not easy. But why are we here? Why are we here on earth? Is it to live an easy life? Isn't it to struggle? Didn't Allah say, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. The one who created, Jazakallahu khairan, the one who created death and life in order to test you who is better indeed. I mean, that is the objective of life. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. All you who believe, protect yourselves and your family members from the fire. We don't have any other objective, my brothers and sisters, in this life of ours, but to make it to paradise and be protected from the fire. If it means that our children will learn more Quran than cartoon, let it be. Alhamdulillah, you will be the one who gain. You will be the one who will be victorious. Because if you messed up in your life, your child might make dua for you after you die, and Allah will forgive you because of your child. If you want to talk about investment and money, this is business right there. You want long-term profit? You want to continue to make money? Or in this case, good deeds after you die, it's in your children. But if you keep them too busy with the other stuff, they may not have enough time for you when you die to make dua for you. Well, because their whole life they were taught that it's not really important. What's important is that I become educated and that I speak 3 languages and then I go to college and then I graduate and I become a doctor. Alhamdulillah, I'm a successful individual. Even if you go to Jahannam, oh, I don't know, I never really thought of it. So we need to be mindful of that. Now, upon speaking about the virtues of the Quran, there is something that is missing there. There is something that is missing there that many of us might not know. And my objective today is shed some light on this particular ambiguous misconception. What am I talking about? We were speaking about the Quran, the virtues of the Quran. The Quran will protect you on the Day of Judgment. The Quran will make you take precedence in this dunya and the hereafter. Allah will elevate the people of the Quran. And so forth from the virtues that we have mentioned. But brothers and sisters, there's a condition right there. There's a condition that if we don't have, everything that I said will backfire. There's a condition. If we don't have, every virtue that I said will actually become blameworthy. Everything praiseworthy that I mentioned will automatically become blameworthy because of one missing thing. What is it? What is it? You may be thinking about it right now. You may know it. You may be surprised. It has been mentioned in a number of verses in the Quran and a number of narrations from the Prophet ﷺ, and many of our righteous predecessors have spoken abundantly about this particular issue. What is it? It is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. Allah, when describing the Jews, He said the following about them, and among them are those who are illiterate. They know nothing of the book but recitation. Now, Allah called them what? Illiterate. Now, this illiteracy is not the same as that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so be careful now. The fact that Allah azza wa jal criticized them, don't worry, their kids, they're never going to stop. We just focus with each other, inshallah. We just learn how to go deal with it. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla criticized them because of their illiteracy, it is not the same as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know how to read or write, but what did he have? Knowledge and implementation. These people, on the other hand, they know how to read and write, but they have no knowledge and no implementation. So if you have knowledge and you don't know how to read or write, alhamdulillah. Your illiteracy is not blameworthy because you may be blind, but you may be a scholar. You understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. But when you are able to read and write, and you don't understand, and you don't implement, you become an illiterate person, which Allah criticized the Jews for. So any Muslim who has this particular quality is criticized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where every narration that I mentioned to you will backfire. Why? You may say, why? Let me give you an example which may clarify things. Ya akhi, let's imagine that you are a doctor. And when you, before you became a doctor, you had to attend university. And you learned the books of medicine. In the books of medicine, they taught you that if a patient has symptom A, this particular medicine should not be given to this person, otherwise he will die. Okay, he has allergy to this kind of antibiotic or whatever it is. Don't give a patient with symptom A this kind of medicine. You become a doctor. You have studied these books of medicine. You have memorized these books of medicine. And you know them by heart. And here you are sitting in the clinic. And you have a patient that comes to you with symptom A. And you give him the very medicine that you are not supposed to give him, and he dies. And you go to court. Now, what do you think your situation is going to be like in court? What is the judge going to tell you? Do you not know what it says in chapter 23 in the book of medicine, whatever it's called? Your Honor, yes, I do. So you know that you're not supposed to give the patient this kind of medicine. Your Honor, yes, I do. But you did give the patient this medicine. Your Honor, yes, I did. Where are they going to take you? Straight to jail. And if you were there, you would say, yes, he deserves it, man. He killed my cousin. I mean, he knew he's not supposed to give him this particular medicine, and he just doesn't care. He went ahead and did it anyways. This particular individual is not the same as a doctor who doesn't know any better. Says, Your Honor, I don't have this book. I lost it when I was back in school. I thought I was giving him the right medicine. They may pardon you, they may give you lesser years, huh? You may get by. But the person who knew, no way. Now this is here, court in this dunya. Have you ever thought about the court on the day of judgment where Allah Azza wa Jalla is the judge? And what are we going to say to Allah when Allah will ask us about these verses that we were reciting in the Quran and yet going straight against them? For the sisters, Allah says to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنْ. O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the believing women to cover and throw their veils over their blossoms or their bodies to cover themselves. I'm not talking about covering the face and the hands. There's a difference of opinion among the scholars. This is not my objective here. I'm not saying cover your face. You may be following an opinion that says it's okay. I'm talking about the other stuff that all the scholars agree that must be covered. What is the situation going to be for the sister when she reads this verse with perfect tajweed? But then she goes out in the street, a'udhu billah, zero implementation. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. Tell the believing women to lower their gaze and to protect their private parts and not to show their adornments. Yet a sister, may Allah guide us and guide all the sisters in Islam, they may go out doing exactly the opposite of that. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. A fitna for the people. Going out with the very objective to have people attracted towards her, even if she's married. Is this, are the virtues that I mentioned about the Quran, are they going to help this individual? Ikhwan, it's dangerous. It may not work that way. The same thing for the brothers. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى. Oh, you who believe, إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you are believers. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah, and leave alone whatever you own of interest. If you are truly believing. So we will find some of us reciting this book, reciting this verse, and then their whole life is based on investment and interest, interest and riba and buying and riba and selling, buying the car through interest and buying the house through interest, and our whole life is interest. Yet we recite the book of Allah, which tells us to do the opposite of that. And if I were to mention the examples, we will be here till for a few weeks. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ, and obey Allah and obey His Messenger. We are supposed to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We read the verse and then we go deliberately and disobey him. He says, don't do that, we do that. Do that, we don't do that. This is why it was mentioned in the hadith, which was narrated by Imam Muslim. أَنَّ يُؤْتَى بِالْقُرْآنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَهْلِهِ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ تَقْدُمُهُمْ سُورَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ وَآلُ عِمْرَانِ تُحَاجَانِ عَنْ صَاحِبِهِمَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, the Qur'an will be brought on the Day of Judgment, and so the people who used to act according to it. The point of emphasis here is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, the people who used to act according to the Qur'an. And then they will be preceded by the two chapters, Al-Baqarah wa Al-Imran. They will argue on behalf of the one who used to recite them until they save them from the fire. Notice this hadith is explicit in explaining that this is only for the brothers who did what? And the sisters, وَأَهْلِهِ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ, and the people that used to act in accordance with the Qur'an. So if we don't act in accordance with the Qur'an, we may be in trouble. The Qur'an will become a proof against us as opposed to a proof for us. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu an abihi, it took him, my brothers and sisters, 8 years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. Nowadays, the average child, he would memorize it in a month. It took him 8 years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. You know why? Because he wasn't just memorizing. He memorized, he understood, he implemented. He took everything that this chapter contained. After 8 years, he produced himself to the people and he became among the scholars of the Sahabi, Ashab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 8 years. And the companions mentioned that they will only take 10 verses from the Qur'an, they will learn whatever they contain from rulings and ahkam and prohibitions, what have you, and then they will move on to the next 10 and memorize them. It wasn't about just memorization. Because this mere memorization is not going to get us anywhere, because Allah says about the Jews, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. And the Prophet ﷺ, Allah said on his song in the Qur'an, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And the Prophet ﷺ would say, oh my Lord, verily my people have taken this Qur'an as something that is deserted. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his tafsir mentioned that deserting the Qur'an is at various stages. If you turn away from the book completely, this is a form of desertion. And if you turn away from pondering upon the meanings of the Qur'an, كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. A book we have sent down upon you, Muhammad, that is blessed. Why? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so they may ponder upon its verses. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and the people with the right mind will take a reminder from the Qur'an. So Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, those who don't ponder upon the Qur'an, they are doing a form of abandoning the Qur'an. And if you stay away from the commandments and the prohibitions of the Qur'an, then you are also performing an act of deserting and abandoning the Qur'an. And if you are too busy with poetry and music and other things more than the Qur'an, then this is again another form of abandoning the Qur'an. And we cannot afford to abandon the Qur'an. Ya akhwan, brothers and sisters, Allah gave us this gift, this miracle, the only living miracle by any prophet and messenger. The only living miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one seen Moses split the ocean, and no one sees Jesus give life to the dead, and no one seen Abraham being saved from the fire, and no one seen the ark of Noah. These are the miracles of the prophets, but the miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is within our hands. It's in the hearts of our children. It's in the hearts of the Muslims. Is this how we show gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah gives us this blessing, and in return we are too busy to do something about it, and we're too busy chasing after our desires in this worldly matter. Wallahi, it is not befitting for us. It is time for us to take this matter seriously. These children that Allah has blessed you with, Allah will ask you about them on the Day of Judgment. كُلُّكُمْ رَعِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. Each one of you is a shepherd, and you will be asked about those who are under his responsibility. These four children, none of us will dare to throw his child in the fire today. But some of us allow our children to live a life that will guarantee them the hellfire, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is hypocrisy. If you do not have the heart to throw your child in the fire, do not let him live a life that will make him go to the fire. This is the fruit. This is the beauty of your eye. Your children, make them containers of this Quran. Teach them this Quran. The understanding of the Quran, the implementation of the Quran. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal will alleviate from this ummah what has befallen upon it because we have turned away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps it will be your children who will bring the honor back to this ummah. Don't wait for someone else to come and do the job. We take the lead in this particular matter here. We should be in the forefront. This is your child, this is your investment, and you yourself, my brothers and sisters, learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only to recite it properly, alhamdulillah, but we need to know what is inside. It's a book of guidance. Hudan lil muttaqin. How are you going to be guided if you don't know? Read the tafsir in Urdu, in Kerala, in any language that you speak, in English, Chinese, whatever you, we must know what we are reading in order to benefit from the Quran. There's a reward for recitation, and there's a reward for understanding and implementation. And we want to be the best of the creation. Allah has chosen from the Muslims a group of people who are better than everybody else. Each one of us has a choice. You may either join that group, or you may be among those who are falling back. Maybe you'll make it to Jannah, and maybe you won't. Maybe we will succeed, and maybe we won't. If we depend on luck, which is un-Islamic, we are not going to be successful. We must strive and we must exert ourselves. And with this, I will conclude my particular talk. And I ask Allah to reward you for paying attention, although the children were distracting us in a sense, but this is the nature of the children. But these are the same ones that we are concerned about. And when they learn the proper etiquette of the Quran, you will find them sitting the way they are supposed to sit, as the students of knowledge sit. So this is an attempt, and this is an opportunity given to us by Allah, that we were brought together to this particular city. For everyone to receive this particular information which Allah has allowed me to share with you. If Allah willed, I would not be able to say anything. Allah allowed this to happen for some of us to take heed and become among those who are successful, and some of us who will come on the Day of Judgment and will say, "Oh Allah, I heard, but I was not, I was too busy to act." Upon the reminder, هذا والله تعالى أعلم والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. We praise Allah and we send the peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم وجزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.